We've had a theme going throughout this whole Advent season, a holly jolly Christmas. And someone pointed out, observed, that the title of my series has a question mark at the end of that statement. Oh, we know the song, "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of..." No, we don't have a cup of cheer here. I'm surprised you all knew that. I'm impressed. But I put a question mark at the end of that statement for this reason, because for many people, Christmas may in the past have been a great, holly, jolly, joyous time, but this year, maybe things have changed. Maybe things have changed in your home, and you're coming to Christmas, and there's going to be an empty seat at your Christmas dinner table. Maybe it's been a year of great financial challenge, or in your career, your job, and it just hasn't worked out. And maybe you're coming here tonight, and yes, you've come because, well, what else are you going to do on Christmas Eve besides watch It's a Wonderful Life when you get home? I love that movie, by the way. It's a great movie. But you're here tonight. Some of you, you've been singing these carols with great gusto and enthusiasm. And others, it's, "I don't know, Pastor. I don't know what's going to happen." But I want us to know tonight that you don't have to leave this place tonight the same way you came. You don't have to, if you came here tonight in sorrow, depression, worry, or fear, I want to encourage you tonight that you don't have to leave with that baggage, but you can leave it here tonight and go with the joy, peace, hope, and love that Jesus has come, died, and rose again to give you tonight. And so for this Christmas Eve, I want you to join me one more time as we look again at this precious, powerful Christmas story. It's so powerful that it was even part of one of the greatest cartoon Christmas specials ever created, the Charlie Brown Christmas Special. How many grew up watching that? And towards the end of that, Charlie Brown laments, "Can anyone tell me the true meaning of Christmas?" And Linus says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you the true meaning of Christmas." And he gets to the stage and recites from memory Luke chapter 2 that we are going to read together right now. The birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him. By this sign, you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is God's word. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for this narrative, this story that is so old yet is so new. Lord, for many who have heard this over the years, it continues to bring hope and joy, reminding us of your abundant love and mercy and peace. For those who have heard it for the first time, Lord, it brings glory and hope to the soul and a longing to know you. And Father, I pray tonight as I share this message, God, that you would open our eyes to see once again your grace, your mercy, your love in a babe born in Bethlehem so many years ago. To him we give the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we journey through this familiar passage once again, I want to invite us all to come to the manger, to see, to feel, and to experience what those first shepherds heard, saw, and felt so many millennia ago. First of all, I want us to come to see the gift of Jesus. Notice that these shepherds were just minding their own business, tending their flocks out in the field. Scholars point out that their shepherds didn't usually tend their flocks near the end of the year, so this couldn't be around December 25th. Well, the Bible doesn't exactly tell us when Jesus was born, if it was April or June or September. What we do know and what does matter is that Jesus really was born, and that the events that we read in Luke and in the Gospels are true. They are factual. They are not myth. They are not parables. No, this really happened. It's perfect. So we celebrate. We choose to celebrate tomorrow. And for all the boys and girls that are here, I know you can't wait till tomorrow morning, but if you will just allow me just a few minutes, we'll be finished soon and you can get home and you can get into your beds and put your head on your pillow and go to sleep so you can wake up tomorrow to an amazing Christmas. And here were the shepherds, doing what they always do at night, maybe around a fire, warming themselves, their sheep sleeping around them, some baaing, maybe a gentle wind blowing around them, when the silence of the night is shattered by a great light around them. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. Have you ever thought about what it would be like to see an angel? In a lot of our Christmas pageants, we see angels as little cherubs that are so cute and baby-like, or they're like the angels on your creche, maybe at home, that have wings and are flying above the manger. But the angels that appeared that night were so glorious, it caught the attention of the shepherds, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to say. They were terrified. They feared a great fear. In other words, They were super scared. So the angels do what angels do. They looked at them and said, don't be afraid. The angels weren't there to harm them. The angel was there to tell them something special, significant, something great has just happened. The angel was there to tell them about the greatest gift the world would ever receive. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born to you in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. The message is a gift has been given. The promise that God gave through the prophets so many years before was now come to pass. God's gift was born. A gift of good news. The same word that is here in the Greek is the word that we get our word gospel from. Gospel means good news. And in the Roman days of the Romans in the first century, if the emperor wanted to get a message across through his empire, he would send emissaries to every city, every village, every town throughout the empire with a letter written by the emperor with good news, the gospel. And so when the angel said that he has come with good news, he wasn't coming from Rome. He wasn't coming from Washington. He wasn't coming from Toronto. He wasn't coming from Victoria. No, this good news was coming from heaven's portal itself to humanity, to planet Earth, that there is good news. The Savior has been born, and so there is great joy. And not only was this great good news of great joy, but it was for all people. And I think it was very special and important and intentional that God gave this first message of good news to shepherds. Not to the king in the palace in Jerusalem, not to the emperor's home in Rome, not to a great rabbi's school or university. No. It was out in the middle of nowhere, in a field, surrounded by sheep and shepherds. Shepherds in those days were not considered very special. In fact, they were largely ignored by the populace. After all, have you ever smelled a sheep farm? If you have, and that smell gets carried on into the clothes and the skin, well, you could understand why most did not want to stick around the shepherds. But it was to shepherds. Because God's message of good news, of great joy, is for all. I'm so glad that he gave the message to the shepherds, because it reminds me, hey, I'm not much different from them. I'm just like them. I really don't deserve God's grace or mercy. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, in his great mercy and love, sent his one and only Son to die for you and me, because he loved us and he wants all people to hear the good news. This gift is available to all, every person, every tribe, every nation, every ethnicity, every economic class, every age, every man, every woman, every region, every language, every position, every talent, every lack of talent, every athlete, every band member, every worship team singer, every ukulele player. God has given this message of good news to every criminal, to every judge, to every law enforcement official, to every conservative, every liberal, every independent, every pacifist, every soldier, every terrorist, every sinner, every saint, every preacher, every priest, every prostitute, every gossiper, every generous person, every greedy person, every Habs fan, every Toronto fan, and every Canucks fan, every country fan, every city fan, every homeless person, every blue-collar worker, every white-collar worker, every minimum wage employee, every CEO, every parent, every child, every church member, every atheist, every king, every shepherd, everyone. God has given this, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. God has given his gift to everyone, and he says, come and see. Come and see the greatness of Jesus. The shepherds hear specifically how great this child is. Look at verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born to you today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The city of David, of course, is the little village of Bethlehem. Today it is a small city of several thousand. In that day, it was no more a little tiny hamlet. There were more sheep in Bethlehem than there were people. But it was here, in this town, where David himself watched the sheep of his father Jesse. It was here that God said to the prophet Malachi, this is where my son will be born. This is where he will come. This is where he will be. And this gift will be great. He will be the Savior. This Jesus has come not to be a teacher, not to be a politician, not to be a great benefactor of the poor. No, he has come for one singular purpose, and that is to save you and I. He is our Savior. Secondly, he is Messiah. He is the promised one, the one that the prophets spoke about that would come and deliver them. And he is Lord. Any one of these titles given to anyone is great in and of itself, yet the angel ascribes all of these to this tiny baby. Jesus is our Savior, the Messiah. He's the Christ, our Lord. He is our gift. He is a great gift. And he's worthy of praise. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. In this humble setting, with the humble birth of a baby, in front of humble shepherds, God vividly shows the greatness of his Son. The multitude of angels appear and praise God and give glory to God at the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And they proclaim peace on earth to those who will receive the favor or salvation of God. God has shown his favor to all people by giving us this great gift of Jesus. We can be saved by the Savior, we can be changed by the Christ, and we are loved by the Lord. Peace on earth indeed came, and it came in the way of a baby who would grow, who would die on a cross for our sins, who would rise from the dead, and today is alive at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I today. While sin brought brokenness to this earth, God has brought peace through his Son. Have you seen the greatness of Jesus? Have you received the peace that he brings? Come and see. Come and see the gift of Jesus. Come and see the greatness of Jesus. He is our Messiah. He is Savior. He is Lord. finally come and see the glory of Jesus. We've read of the multitude of the heavenly hosts present before the shepherds. There were perhaps thousands, maybe millions of angels present. What a magnificent sight that must have been. Yet this was not enough for the shepherds. They wanted to see the baby. They wanted to see Jesus. Look at verse 15 again. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They wanted to go and see. And my friend, that's precisely what God calls each of us to do. It's one thing to hear the story year after year after year. It's one thing to hear about and visit pageants and go to church. But he invites us to come and see. To let him be part of our lives. To invite him in. So they go looking for Jesus. The angel gave them instructions how they would recognize him. They said, "You'll recognize him as a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." They knew the child would be in Bethlehem. They knew he would be in a manger somewhere. And Bethlehem wasn't that large, so it probably not many young women giving birth that night. So it would not have been hard to find. So they hurried to the village. And they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Now just imagine with me for a moment. Imagine how awesome this must have been. The angel, the heavenly host, the journey, and then finding the baby and his parents, just as was described. But it wasn't like a Hallmark movie. It's not how Hollywood would imagine the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In fact, Max Licato gives a very vivid description of Jesus' birth. He writes, "God had entered the world as a baby, yet were someone to chance upon the sheep stable in the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. The stable stinks like stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep reeks pungently in the air. The ground is hard, the hay scarce, cobwebs cling in the ceiling, and a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. And yet that is how God entered the world, as a humble baby, born to poor and humble parents in the most humblest place imaginable. And after seeing him," you know what they did? This is awesome. This is so cool. "The shepherds told everyone that had happened what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished." And my friends, this is what happens whenever anybody finds Jesus as their Savior. And maybe you're searching tonight. You can discover him tonight. You can find new life, new purpose, forgiveness, and wholeness through a relationship with Jesus. And don't be surprised that when you leave here, that the next thing you want to do is you want to tell somebody. You want to tell somebody about this great gift. You want to tell somebody about how this great Christ has changed your life. And you want to give great glory and praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as the shepherds did, who went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Everything that was promised concerning Jesus was starting to come to be, and specifically everything that the angels had just told the shepherds had come to be true. The glories of God were on full display through a baby, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul describes his mission and humility to the Philippians in this ancient hymn. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the high place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God invites us tonight to come and see the gift, to embrace the greatness of his love, and to bring glory to his name. Come and see. Come and see the wonderful gift of Jesus. Come and see. Then go and tell of the great gift of Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord. I'm going to invite Sue to come and join me in the folk who are going to be helping us light our candles. The worship team is going to come, and we're going to sing one more carol to end this night. Silent night. I don't know how silent it was that night, but tonight, I want us to silent our hearts. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've come here tonight. Maybe it's the first time, the umpteenth time to a service like this. But tonight, something has just clicked in your heart. And it's more than a story. It's more than a liturgy. It's more than a ritual. This is life. For God so loved you, he gave his only begotten Son, that when you and I, when Ralph and Sue believe in him, we'll have eternal life. Do you know that tonight? If you will, I'd like to help you tonight with a simple prayer. I'm going to ask all of us to just pray this prayer from our hearts, and if you're here tonight and you would say, yes, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to give my heart to him. I want you to pray this from your heart. Dear God, I believe Jesus is your Son. I confess I have sinned, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died to take away my sin, and that you raised him to life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I'd like you to just raise your hand. Just, we're not going to ask, yes, amen, thank you. Yes, amen, amen. Several hands have been raised tonight. Could we just welcome these ones into the family of God? Hallelujah. Let's rejoice tonight. There are angels in heaven having a party right now. We want to welcome you. And if we can help you in any way in your walk of faith, we're here. If you need a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. We have literature in the back that we would love to be able to give you to help you in your walk of faith. But we're going to stand tonight. And Pastor Sue, if you would give us instructions exactly what we're going to do tonight.
All right.